Hey everybody, this is Bob Andelman, the host of Mr. Media. Before we start today's show, I want to let you know that I will be out making personal appearances this summer in support of my new book, Will Eisner, A Spirited Life. It's the biography of the great comic book legend. If you're interested, you can catch me on May 16th, that's Saturday, May 16th, from 12 to 3 p.m. in Ocala, Florida, at the Barnes & Noble Booksellers, Market Street at Heathbrook. It's 4414 Southwest College Road. And if you are in the Clearwater St. Pete area, on June 13th, I will be at Emerald City Comics. It's a great big comic book store, a warehouse store. It's like no store you've ever been to. We'll be there signing books. We're probably going to do a live Mr. Media on scene with a comic book creator. And I'll also be offering presentation about Will, slides, talk, the whole thing. So if you can come out, I'd love to meet you, love to show you the book, and talk to you about Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk with the blogger, super Doctor Who fan and writer of all things Who, Cameron K. McEwen, a.k.a. Blogger Who. He's one of the world's foremost Whovians, founder of the Blogger Who website, and author of the new book of trivia, Unofficial Doctor Who, The Big Book of Lists. This is his second visit to Mr. Media, and his first since Doctor Who himself, Peter Capaldi, was here in December 2014. Stick around. There will be a quiz at the end of days. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Lucasfilm background droids, hoping Cameron K. McEwen can get them auditions as villains for Doctor Who Season 10 in the Nuna Media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. It's a given that if you're a fan of something, anything, you're going to absorb quite a bit of trivial knowledge around it. Best Avenger? The Vision. Worst Avenger? Moondragon. The same is true of whatever fandom you follow, from Game of Thrones to Breaking Bad, and from Lord of the Rings to Star Trek. And, of course, Doctor Who. Now, my family sucked me into the Who Vortex 2 years ago. I thought their crowning achievement was getting me to the Doctor Who experience in Cardiff, Wales, where we wandered around the actual set of Matt Smith's TARDIS, and we watched the coronation of the next Doctor, Peter Capaldi, on the telly in our London hotel room. But then, Capaldi himself was a guest on the show back in December 2014, and I was completely charmed and converted. And I'd still sell my soul for a night with his co-star, Jenna Coleman, but that's a conversation for another day. Now I've embarrassed poor Cam. Another development on my journey was hosting Cameron K. McEwen on Mr. Media last year to talk about his first book, The Who's Who of Doctor Who. Since then, we've become Facebook friends, and it was a foregone conclusion, in my mind, that he'd be back today to promote his new project, Unofficial Doctor Who, The Big Book of Lists. So here's some examples from the book. Excuse me, did you drop something? As Doctor Who name drops from the beginning of time. 7 classic series in-jokes, including self-references. 6 times the Doctor predicted the future, including the emergence of Margaret Thatcher as UK Prime Minister. Some probably wish he hadn't done that. And TV shows that Doctor Who references, from Scooby-Doo to The Addams Family, of course. Now, the Big Book of Lists is the Who's Who of Doctor Who on steroids for Who fans. He likes that. Cam McEwen, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you so much for asking me back, Bob. Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you, of course. I've enjoyed staying in contact since the last time around, and I trust if this goes well, we'll continue to stay in contact, or I will be blacklisted across all of the United Kingdom. I don't want that.
Unfriended.
Unfriended, even worse. So, Cam, the Big Book of Lists seems a natural progression from the Who's Who. Now, that's the Who's Who, not the Who's Who. That would be another UK reference.
I got you, but that's a good idea for a third book.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it.
How did this one come about?
Well, the Who's Who of Doctor Who did very well. Even before actually it was released, they had planned a reprint. And I was assured they had printed more than 10 copies. So a reprint, you know, I don't know if your viewers will be aware, but a reprint is usually a good thing and a sign that people are buying it. So the publishers, lovely people at Race Point Publishing, said, we want to do another book. And so I had a few ideas. They had a few ideas. But as the lists that I had done on my own site and on various other websites had been popular and fun, I think is the main thing, they thought this would be a good choice to go for. And so I was delighted to do it, because lists, I think, are something that almost every fan of a genre loves to have a little dip into a list, either binge on it all day or just a trip to the toilet and take a book with you for 5 minutes.
Well, we know, of course, as internet veterans, that the internet loves a good list. Anything with the list. 6 of this,
yeah.
7 of that, 100 of this.
Well, I am way back in the 90s, if you can cast your mind so far back into that distant time. And you might not know this, Bob, but Doctor Who wasn't even on television in the 90s. The idiots that made it weren't making it anymore. So there was actually a book of lists that came out then. I think you can buy it on auction sites and things, but it's deleted and out of print now. It always stuck in my mind as being quite fun. So I thought, I want to do something like that, something that's fun, that encapsulates the nice side of fandom. And it's also got some facts in there.
Speaking of lists, how many lists are there in the Book of Lists?
There are 100. Perfect. 100 lists, which is a lot.
That is a lot. And how many did you have going into the project from that you had already developed, and how many new ones did you develop to develop the book?
I think, well, I'd had a lot of ideas for pitching to other places that didn't take them, so I just kept those on in the bank, as it were. But I think maybe about 10 had already been out there, maybe 15. So the majority of them, the vast majority of them, are brand new, and especially for the book. And in fact, there's one from Mr. Murray Gold, the Doctor Who composer, as well.
Wow. And is there anything that's too arcane for a Whovian?
I don't think so. Although, I mean, new Who fans, if I can use the expression new Who, and classic fans do differ slightly, I think. So I've tried to incorporate the fact that, yes, old Who fans, and this may be a dreadful stereotype, but I am an old Who fan, they do like lists. You know, that's their kind of bread and butter. They like facts, they like lists. Whereas new Who fans, less concerned, but they like lists, like fun things. So I tried to combine the two, because I am a classic fan, but I am very much a new Who fan as well.
I keep hearing when you say a new Who fan, there's a drink. I don't think it's made it across the pond, but there's an American drink called Yoo-Hoo.
Yoo-Hoo, yeah.
Nice chocolatey drink.
I've never drank it, but I saw it in my last visit to New York City. Yeah, Yoo-Hoo.
You would think that someone would appropriate or make the connection with Yoo-Hoo and Doctor Who and, you know, make it new again somehow.
Well, let's get in contact with BBC Worldwide. I did notice in, I think it's Japan, there is a water called Doctor Who. Hmm. And somebody sent me a picture of a bottle. Very strange, but you know. Dr. Uhu. Oho, no. What did you say, Yoo-Hoo? Dr. Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah,
let's do it.
It was endorsed for decades and may still be by American baseball player Yogi Berra, who's famous for saying, when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Wow. I'm familiar with his cartoon work.
Oh, that's Yogi Berra.
I'm being hilarious.
Oh, all right.
I love basketball. Again, I'm being hilarious.
You're screwing with me there, Cam.
I am slightly. I do know quite a lot about America. You were founded 10 years ago. I'm going to do a book of American lists.
Yes. And our famous, our world famous coffee party was, of course, a spinoff of
coffee party was a, that's where it happened. All the in Massachusetts.
Right.
Oh no, is Mass? Yeah, well,
yeah, Massachusetts.
Oh, damn,
Boston Harbor. You actually got that one right.
I got that one right.
You got one right.
I meant to see Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Yes, that would be the frigid party.
Home of Prince, my favorite.
Home of Prince, absolutely. What are some of the lists that you're most proud of in the book? Give us a run through.
Oh, that's a tricky one. One of the lists, and this while I think about what my favorites are, one of the lists that my publisher was very excited about was that there's a Star Wars list in it. And how apposite, because myself and Bob are recording this on May the 4th. And there's a Star Wars list that I sent in, and immediately they were like, this is great. We want every list to be like this. So I tried to make it. I mean, you can't really make every list like a Star Wars list. But the fact that Darth Vader has been in Doctor Who, for example, is quite an exciting fact. If you didn't know it, if you do know it, you're kind of bored and go, "Yeah, so what? That was 40 years ago."
Right.
And David Tennant, of course, the 10th Doctor, he was in the Clone Wars series. So things like that, a lot of people weren't aware of. So they're just niche little facts. The kind of stuff that I'm proud of. Ooh, that's tricky. I mean, I like researching stuff. So I like to look at things like, for example, ratings, television ratings, and forming graphs. There's a few in the book that are percentages and number-based ones. So proud isn't maybe the word, but they are the ones that I like doing because it involves research and taking an angle on them because I love numbers. I love numbers. I was always very good at maths, or math, as you call it in North America. So those ones I enjoyed because they are straight down the line facts. But I love them all as children. I love them all. One of the fun ones actually was doing the computer games list. There's a list about computer games spanning from the 80s up until now. And again, I guess it's something that a lot of Who fans don't know about. I knew about almost all the games. There's a couple that I didn't know about. So again, through research, that was quite enlightening and certainly fun because some of the games I hadn't played.
Cam, is the modern Who, the last 9 seasons, I guess, is it more pop culture oriented and self-referencing and more self-aware than the previous Who?
Yeah, it is. I mean, incredibly so. In the old days, in the olden times, 63 to 89, you would be very lucky if you found any kind of pop culture reference. And you could count them all on one hand. But the new series weaved in all these incredible references from in the first series. Within the first couple of episodes, you've got references to Michael Jackson. You've got references to Star Trek. You've got pop songs from Britney Spears and Soft Cell's 80s classic Tainted Love. So they kept that going, and they get references to Ghostbusters and all sorts of things all throughout the new Who. So it is incredible that shift how pop culture has permeated it. And that was one of the things, as a as an Old Who fan watching Yoo-hoo, that made it so different. It was like, wow, they're you know, they're making all these references to, you know, real life, as it were, although it's not real life. Interestingly, the word mortgage was first used in Doctor Who in 2006. There you go. Take that to the bank.
That's a good one. That's a very good
one. Yeah.
I've got a question. It's less a question related to the book, but something you mentioned made me think of it. As I look at, you know, as I've been watching episodes with my kid and with my wife, you know, you notice that more and more people are exposed in the series to the existence of Doctor Who and this alien who does all these things and this screwdriver and the whole, you know, the TARDIS and everything. And I get to wondering, how aware are we to believe that the people within the Doctor Who universe are, that there is a Doctor Who? And is that why these pop culture references are more common and more fitting?
Well, that's a good question. And in the old days, again, in Doctor Who, you'd be very lucky if you found any episodes where people knew who the Doctor was. He would often arrive on a planet and nobody had heard of him. There are a couple of episodes that you can track down that he is known. But in the 2005 era, from then on, he does start visiting places where people know about him and cultures know about him. So I think that was a handy thing they did when Stephen Moffat reset the universe, so everybody forgot who the Doctor was, so he could start again as an alien that nobody knew, which is what he originally was, rather than turning up, which happened a lot in the Matt Smith era. It seemed like every episode he went, people knew who he was. And there's a great thing about Doctor Who, that he's a mystery to everyone, including those closest to him. As for the pop culture references, possibly I don't see the two as connected, but it's possible.
It's like the Marvel universe is such that it always seems to be taking place in real time, our real time, even though obviously, you know, we don't think there really are Guardians of the Galaxy out there somewhere in the cosmos.
What?
Sorry. there's the Capaldi. We'll just call that the Capaldi.
Capaldis.
I assume that Rocket Raccoon is real. I just don't think the Guardians are real. But
I mean, the Beatles did a song about Rocket Raccoon.
You know, that's kind of like Doctor Who foreseeing Margaret Thatcher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, in the Marvel Universe, there's always references. The Marvel Universe seemed to know that Barack Obama was president, or that David Letterman hosted a late-night show, or that there was a Saturday Night Live back in the mid-1970s. Doctor Who, in that universe, seems very pop aware. So I just found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, but Doctor Who also mentioned Barack Obama in David Tennant's finale, the End of Time. Barack Obama, there was a lookalike with Barack Obama in it. Fans.
Was it a lookalike? Are you sure it was just a lookalike?
Oh, who knows? I'll give my friends in Cardiff a call.
You know, pretty easy to get in and out of Cardiff.
Yeah.
Which list did you struggle the most to complete? You know, where maybe you had a good idea and think, oh, this would make a good list, but it was just like pulling teeth to, you know, make it work.
God. Yeah. There was a few that didn't make it for that very reason, whereas I thought, you have so many ideas, oh, this would be good, but of course the reality is they can't all be good, and sometimes you can't. Off the top of my head, I can't quite remember what they were. They were quite specific, which is, the more specific you get, you can either get a very good and fun list that no one's thought of, or something dreadful that you get two entries and then you're done. But no, I have the files on my computer somewhere of these lists that I started but couldn't quite finish. The Haunted House one was quite tricky. There's a list of not haunted houses, but creepy houses. That was a little bit tricky because you've got to judge, well, what makes a creepy house? No, just a house with bad lighting? I don't know. So that one, again, it's kind of subjective.
I'm just looking at the book now because I can't remember. Was there a list of Clara's identities through the ages?
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, but there's not that many.
Well, there were a few, though.
Yeah, well, we meet her in Asylum of the Daleks, and we meet her again in The Snowmen, and then she's the normal Clara from The Bells of St. John onwards. Although we see her flashback with other doctors, that's the normal Clara who's nipped back into the past. So there's not that many, because all of those are splinters of the same Clara, if I may seem really dull with that answer. But certainly like a costume list, you know, here's some of Clara's.
That'd be good.
You know, I did want to do a list of the Doctor's trousers, looking at how they've changed over the years. There wasn't much demand for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would not have noticed that. That would be like asking me, what color is Clara's hair? I have no idea. I just never remember something like that. I would not have ever looked at his trousers.
Well, back in the 80s, you had to look at the trousers. But you don't know what Clara's hair color is.
I honestly don't. It's a detail.
What about the color of her eyes?
Oh, I have no idea. I just take her in the whole of her. And, you know, she comes on the screen and I just completely lose track of everything else.
Wow, that is so reductive, Bob. What did you say about that?
I think that's the only freebie I'm allowed. Although I think I could make a case for Scarlett Johansson. I might be able to, you know, I might be able to get a night off for that too.
I like the way you set your sights, you know, at the top.
Listen,
I mean, they don't do it for me personally, but you know,
I'm nearing the end of my third decade of marriage. I think I'm entitled to dream.
I thought you were going to say I'm near the end of my life.
Oh, no.
I thought this is going to be a revelation. I'm nearly dead, but I do want to meet Scarlett.
Oh, I didn't say anything about just meeting.
All right.
Searching something. Does the BBC, do they cooperate with you? Do they give you... Last time we spoke, the answer to that last question was no. I don't think that they were cooperative with you.
They weren't uncooperative. In fact, for the Who's Who, they were cooperative because we got images from them. So they did everything with the rest. This time we didn't and also they gave permission for us to do the book. This time we didn't need anything from the BBC because all images are drawn, made beautifully by Andrew Skelitor, and all the information in there is really in my head. But I do have all the Doctor Who stories on either DVD or audio for the ones that are missing. I do have an episode guide from the 90s, which is very handy, and a collection of the scripts, because checking the actual what was said in the episode is vital for a lot of these facts. So it does involve me remembering things and then going to source it. I have quite a good memory, so that helps, because it tells me if I can't quite remember something, I know roughly where it might be. But usually I'm pretty good at identifying where I can find a piece of information. I mean, with the big book of lists, some of it is, about half of it is needed research, proper research. Probably the other half was just straight from my brain to the page. I don't know if that's a good thing.
I will reserve judgment on that, as you know, just as one author to another. We'll let you slide on that one. Have you gotten a sense in the years since the Who's Who of Doctor Who came out, and now this new the Book of Lists? Have you gotten a sense from anyone at the BBC, for example, or you know, in production at the show, that they've used these books, or they have some practical use for them?
I wouldn't. No is the answer to that question. The BBC have their own reference books, and in fact have their own series Bibles that they use. They would absolutely have no need for my books, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean they might not ask me in the future to take part in doing something. But no, they have screeds of information at their underneath their fingernails, should they ever need it.
But you're not persona non grata there. You've been, you know, on the first book, they were helpful. You know, they're not like, oh, that guy. We don't want anything to do with that guy.
No, well, I'm good friends with some of the people in the production team and at BBC Worldwide. So no, I'm a nice guy. You know, I get on with people, and I sometimes bump into them at screenings, like Stephen and Peter, and you know, they're lovely guys. So yeah, I'm certainly not persona non grata. No, they know who I am. I'm not a threat.
Good. You just like to be sure that things are good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I was a bad guy, they'd get rid of me, because the BBC can do that.
Speaking of Peter, and not to put you on the spot, but how did I do? I know you heard it, so how did I do in my interview with Peter?
It was a great interview with Peter. I really enjoyed that and subsequently shared it, yeah. It was lovely. He and Peter, he always gives a good interview, but yeah, he did good.
Knowing that I am not the expert.
Yeah. You don't need to be an expert to interview someone, though. I do, in my other life as a journalist and entertainment reporter, I interview people for TV shows that I have no idea about. But you just got to get the best you can out of them.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Tell folks what you do in your regular daylight hours when you're not researching Who Facts.
I clean the streets, the mean streets of London town. No, when I'm not writing books, and I'm not writing one at the moment, so if anyone wants a book written, let me know. I'm a journalist, I suppose, freelance writer. I write for a number of websites, usually about television and entertainment, although my degree's actually in film. And I would love to get back into writing about film, because that's, well, I'd prefer film as a medium, but television is where I found where I am at the moment. That's what people ask me to do, so that's what I do.
My degree is in film also, just for the record.
Oh, first-class degree?
First-class...
Is it different in America?
A bachelor's degree in America.
Okay.
There's a bachelor's, master's, PhD. I'm a lowly bachelor's.
Yeah. Oh,
ignore,
yeah.
Ignore the ringing phone. I will. So your book, I think I've made clear, I think was got to be a must-have, both books, for Who fans. What I'm wondering is, what Who books do you have on your shelves? What do you rely on?
There's a program guide, which I think is just called the program guide. My eyes are actually going up to my bookcase over there. I can't quite see it. It's a program guide. It was released in 96. And the BBC have always been very good at making fantastic Doctor Who reference books. But I think that's the... during the 90s, they released a great series of books, the 60s, the 70s and the 80s, which looked at various decades. But I don't have them at hand anymore. But that Doctor Who one, the program guide, that's the only one I've got. I try not to have a lot of stuff in my life. I decluttered a few years ago and vowed never to get caught up in buying lots of stuff. So I don't have any real stuff apart from that one book.
All right. Well, I've got another list question for you. Having been to the Doctor Who experience two summers ago now, I guess. It was the summer that Capaldi was announced. It was that week, just by coincidence. I'm curious if you've been back there. I think we may have talked about this last year. I actually thought that the experience itself was kind of soft. It was not it wasn't as special as I thought it was going to be. I understand they've made some changes in the last 2 years. So my list question to you is, do you have any thoughts on, is there a list of improvements that have been made to the Doctor Who experience?
Well, I haven't been since they Capaldified it.
Ah.
They made it all Peter Capaldi just after he became the Doctor, well, when his series started. So I actually haven't been to Cardiff to see the experience since then. But I believe... from my friends and people that I know that have been to, they love the new setup. There's a whole new story going on. There's a brilliant video that accompanies the story that sees Peter in various different TARDIS consoles. So I believe that has improved. But unfortunately, I can't say because I haven't been. What did you want improved?
I love the costumes and the mannequins that are made up as all the characters.
That too, yeah.
It was wonderful for getting pictures and selfies. We have some great pictures. But the what they actually call the experience is there's a part where you go in and you kind of experience oh my God, I just went completely blank on the
Well, it's you go through the crack, if you'll pardon the expression, and into the Starship UK, and then there's the Weeping Angels and Daleks.
The Daleks, thank you. I just couldn't think of the word. And it just seemed, and maybe I've been spoiled by, you know, Disney and Universal and things, but knowing what's possible, and that if you go to the, if you go to the Harry Potter exhibit in outside of London. It's extraordinary what they've done there with very little experience type thing. It's mostly a big Harry Potter museum for the movies. I just thought it felt kind of flat. It was just very underwhelming. And knowing, you know, the what the best practices and best of class for an experience could be, I thought it felt flat. And that said, we were among the first to get the tour of I guess it was Matt Smith's TARDIS before they converted it for Peter. And being able to be on the set in that TARDIS was an extraordinary thing, particularly for my family. They were just completely overwhelmed. But the experience itself, I mean, the gift store was great, and the museum of all the characters and the costumes, terrific. But the experience itself, I just thought, fell flat 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid thing to say. That in comparison with what's going on, it seemed like it was about 10 years ago. They didn't engage with the vivacious nature of fans these days. I mean, it was good, but it could have been a hell of a lot better. But for me, that part didn't really bother me because I'm a man of a certain age, so I don't really care about that kind of thing, and I don't have a family to share it with, so. The museum part, as you put it, seeing the costumes and props, that's what made it for me. That's what made it such a great experience. But I could see why people might feel shortchanged, especially coming from the US, where you have a slightly better history with that sort of thing. I haven't been to the Harry Potter one.
Oh, you got to go to that, my friend.
But I've never read the J.R. Tolkien books, so I don't know anything.
You're funny. I'm not. You know, it's interesting. I'm not a big. I've seen all the Potter movies, but I'm not like
You're not a big pothead.
No, I'm not a big pothead in any respect. But we went to that, and that was overwhelmingly. It was an amazing experience to actually go through the sets. And see the work and the architecture and everything. Being as close as you are, you should take a day and go and see that. I guarantee you will not be disappointed in that.
I have heard nothing but good things about it, Hogwarts and all.
my list of the 11 worst puns by Cameron McEwen.
Number one, Doctor Who.
That would be the number one. That's right. Right up there. With Hogwarts and all, and blog.
Pothead. I'll try and get a free ticket to Potter World.
You do that.
But yeah, I agree. But as I say, I'm a fan of just, I like to look at the costumes and the props. But I'll let Cardiff know that you hate it.
I just that one part of it. All right. So, I think you just said I was going to ask you what was next, but you said you don't have another book in the works at the moment. You're just hoping to do many printings of this one.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, like the last book, this is going into a reprint as well.
Excellent.
Now, if you're a person that likes to collect things and valuables, this first edition of the Book of Lists will be rare because there's new facts going into the next edition, mainly to do with Game of Thrones and Star Wars, and updating a few episode titles because they have come to light since the book was published, since the book was written, because it was finished around about October, November last year. That's when it was finished and put in. So things have changed in the world of Doctor Who. So when they said they were doing a reprint, I thought, right, I must getting a few more facts. So that's good. They're reprinting the book, which is brilliant, which is always a good sign for a third. But who knows? There's a lot of Doctor Who books out there. As I discovered, I was in Forbidden Planet in London. And my book was very, they were very good. They had two great placings for the book. But it's just fascinating to see how many official books there are, but also how many unofficial books there are as well.
And that would be the third place that any genre fan should go. You go to the Doctor Who Experience, you go to the Harry Potter Museum or whatever they're calling it, and you got to go to Forbidden Planet. That's an incredible store.
Yeah, a bit pricey, but
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. But you have to see it once. You really have to. It puts to shame anything we've got over here, I think, frankly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just – it's so – there's so many unusual things there, and the staff is so good, and there's so many of them. And the two floors, and it – you know, it's like a different store from basement to street level.
Well, the basement is where, I guess, you know, the comic guys and all those kind of bottom dwellers go to. But that's where my book is. So. Books, I should say. I was there at the weekend for Free Comic Book Day. It was lovely and packed with people. Yeah. I mean, who knew Free Comic Book Day was such a big thing? But of course, getting free stuff, everybody loves free stuff.
Well, and I'm hoping that those folks at Forbidden Planet are smart enough to stock the deluxe edition of Will Eisner's Spirited Life, not to get onto my books. So, folks,
I'm sure I saw a copy of it.
That's the right thing.
Because it's, to me, it's distinctive because I've seen it, you know, so much because of the, and it took my eye because of the font. Is the thing that always strikes a chord with me. I'm sure I did see it. I'm sure. As for the moment, I'm hoping a third book is in the pipeline. We are in discussions. So who knows? I don't know what – I've pitched them a few ideas, so we'll see. Maybe it'll be a Star Wars lists book. I don't know.
That movie, the seventh movie, will make $1 billion opening weekend. So
yeah,
people will be interested in something.
Yeah.
All right, folks, listen, you can find Cameron McEwen's new book, Unofficial Doctor Who, The Big Book of Lists, as well as his previous book, The Who's Who of Doctor Who, A Whovian Guide, there it is, A Whovian Guide to Friends, Foes, Villains, Monsters, and Companions to the Good Doctor in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you are watching us on MrMedia.com, either to the left or right of my friend Cameron, you will see the cover of both books. You can click on them right now, and Amazon, certainly in the U.S. and I assume in the U.K., will deliver to you via drone within 30 minutes or less.
We don't have drones in the U.K. yet.
Oh, that's what you think.
Now,
that's just because our NSA has done a good job of covering them up. But trust me,
they're there.
Yeah, they're definitely there. And you can be found, of course, at blogterwho.com.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And on Twitter, Facebook, all the usual places.
Yeah, Blogter Who. Just look for Blogter Who. Or if you want to get personal, I have my own Twitter account, Cameron K. McEwen. If you're that way inclined.
What does that mean? Never mind. I don't want to.
I don't know what that means.
That was very strange. All right. Cam McEwen, Blogter Who. It is always a pleasure to speak to you. When you get the third book, you know you've got an open invitation to come back. And continued good luck. Good to see you.
Good luck with your book, Bob, and thank you so much for asking me on again. Thank you.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com, the George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, their reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.